Just wanted to say, well, first of all, a little bit loud up here. I can hear myself pretty clearly, which means you guys can hear me as well. I just wanted to say a big thank you to the church as well for the welcome that they've shown us. We've greatly appreciated many of the different gifts we've received, and also a lot of you, I know, are continuing to pray for us. So we just really want to say thank you for that, and are looking forward to ministering here for the years ahead. And getting to know you all on a personal level. Let me just pray, as this is going to be my first time using the clicker, so things probably will go wrong. Father, we just thank you just so much for the privilege of being able to come and just worship you, Lord. We just thank you because of your Son dying on the cross, because of the remembrance that we've had this morning. It gives us reason to gather to hear your word preached, to learn through worshipping you, through your scriptures, and applying that to our life, Lord. So I just pray that you'd help us this morning as we look at what your word says and how it can be applied to our life. And pray you just use me in this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Overcoming fear. Fear is a big thing that many of us have probably faced. More so, I think it's been more evident in the last couple years with the whole pandemic. It's sort of brought this to light. Most of us battle with it at some point in our lives. And it's one of those things, fear, it transcends age. It doesn't matter if you're 107 or if you're 3 years old or even younger, you still have fears. I'm sure when you were a child, maybe you were afraid of things like thunder, lightning. Maybe you were afraid of that first day at school or kindergarten, or maybe it was even the big slide at the playground or the dark. And then as we grew up, we became teenagers, but our fears just didn't stop. It might seem like it at times, but our fears sort of developed into different things, like having the fear of having no friends, or the fear of not succeeding or doing well at school, or what are we going to do once we finish school? And then as we become adults, we still have different fears. They change to new things like finances or security or relationships or finding love, getting married, death, terminal illnesses, losing loved ones. And the list could go on and on. And for some of us, we still have fears that maybe we had when we were a child or a teenager, and definitely as an adult. Most of the things that we do fear, though, can really be put into four general categories. We've got the fear of losing, the fear of failing, the fear of rejection, and the fear of the unknown. But the truth is that God did not form creation with these fears. In 2 Timothy verses 1, chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but a power of love, love and self-discipline." When God created Adam and Eve, I already forgot to do my first slide. When God created Adam and Eve, they had no fears. They were in perfect harmony with God. But when the corrupting work of sin fractured God's perfect creation, it brought about things to hinder us from restoring our relationship with God. Things like fear. So if fear is not from God, and we as followers of Christ are called to things of God, how do we, or how should we, handle fear in our lives? Some people might say that fear is even the opposite of faith. But rather than think of it that way as opposites, I think of fear is when we place our faith in the wrong things. Some of you today can probably relate to this, and especially me being up here doing what is known as the second most feared thing in the world, public speaking. Anybody else have that fear? Yeah, surprisingly, I actually was one of my biggest fears before I went to Bible college. But there's not only fear of public speaking, there's fear of heights, there's fears of spiders, fears of needles, or there's even a fear, if you know what this is, it's called caninophobia. Anyone want to have a guess? Fear of dogs, yes. And it's actually more common than we might think here in Australia. One in 20 people suffer with that fear. And actually one of those people is my wife. As you'll probably get to know, if you've got a dog at home, I will always come and knock on the door first to make sure it's put away somewhere safe so we can come in. And I'll never forget when me and Shamila were dating at Bible College. We attended Adelaide College of Ministries. And when I first discovered this fear, we were getting ready to drive home from college after school. We were ready to hop in the car, and I was opening the door, being a lovely gentleman as I am for Shamila, when all of a sudden her feet are up in the air, slamming the door shut, and she's screaming, ah, ah, ah. And then next minute, our senior students are coming out of the library, what's going on, what's going on? And then all of a sudden, a little white Shih Tzu comes walking around, and the lady who was walking it, one of our other students, was, it's okay, it's friendly. And then from there on, I discovered Shamila's fear of dogs. But we all have fears. And on a more serious level, some of us today are bound by our fears. Things like our fear of death, our fear of rejection, or maybe the fear of commitment and failure. And I know these fears in my life at times, and I'm sure in your lives, have been roadblocks to our faith. And so I pray today, as we go through this message and look at the scriptures, that we will discover the keys that we need, that God has given us, to unlock our lives from the bondage of our fears. Because as we know from the scriptures, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of power, love, and discipline. So the problem is, how do we overcome our fear? We know that fear is firstly when we put our faith in the wrong things. And one of the things that I think we most often put our faith in is the what ifs. Fear is placing our faith in the what ifs. And this is exactly what we see happen time and time again in the Bible as well. A perfect example is Moses. When God first called Moses, if you don't know who Moses is, Moses was born a Hebrew. Yet, even though he was a Hebrew born, he was actually raised in the house of Pharaoh in Egypt. Yet one day things were all going swell, and then the next minute things changed when Moses was overseeing some of the workers and an Egyptian was beating a Hebrew. And Moses took it upon himself and hit the Egyptian and ended up killing him. And then from there, he was obviously scared for his life, living in the Pharaoh of Egypt's house, that he fled to the wilderness, where we see his encounter with God, the burning bush, where God tells Moses that he will bring these Israelite people out of slavery of Egypt. And after all of this, in the presence of God, what does Moses turn to him and says? But Moses protested again, and he says, what if? What if they won't believe me or listen to me? Or what if they say the Lord never appeared to you? In the very presence of God, the burning bush, Moses is still gripped by the what ifs in his life. The worst case scenarios. They don't believe me. They don't listen to me. They say the Lord did not appear to me. And I think this is exactly what we tend to do when God asks us to do something. We start to think about the what ifs in the situation or in our life. What if I lose my job? What if my spouse cheats on me? What if I get rejected by my family and friends? What if I never find love? What if I fail or fall sick? We go straight to the worst case scenarios, our what ifs. And even though at times these aren't what God actually said, they are still important for a reason. Because what you fear most reveals what you value the most. This is not necessarily a bad thing either, because at times you might be fearful that you're going to lose your marriage, or you might be fearful that you're going to lose your job, or that you're going to fail a test, an exam, or an assignment. But what this shows is that you value these things. You value your marriage. You value security. You value education. But not only does what you fear the most reveal what you value the most, secondly, it also, what you fear the most reveals where you trust God the least in your life. So what you fear the most reveals what you value, but it also reveals where you are trusting God the least. Now, this might feel like a little bit of a low blow, but the truth is that we all struggle with the what ifs in our faith. What are we going to do? What we're going to do right now is, on your way in, hopefully you grabbed a little piece of paper, a printout. And on there's been a few bits that hopefully you've filled in along the way. If you haven't, you can ask the person next to you. But we're going to jump down to a section that I just want you to think about something. And it's thinking about, obviously, we're looking at overcoming our fears. And in there's a sentence with a piece to finish on the end. And it says, "I'm not trusting God with blank." And what I want you to do is just to take a moment to think about, in your life right now, what are you not trusting God with? Maybe it's your children or your grandchildren. Maybe it's your health, your marriage, your future. Maybe it's finances, or maybe it's someone close to you that you love. One of the reasons we continuously struggle with the what ifs is because we often don't like to acknowledge them in our lives. And the fact is, you cannot hope to overcome something that you aren't even willing to acknowledge. And that's the crippling power of fear. Fear, it tries to make us deny the problem even exists in our life. So when we acknowledge that we have a fear, we have taken the first step we need to overcoming it and having that life of freedom. So what is it in your life? What is it you're not trusting God with? One of the things that I love about church, and it was just awesome to see with Ian and Caroline just before, is just the support that you get from your church family. The encouragement and accountability in our faith journeys by being a part of a church family. And Hebrews 3 verse 13 says that you must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. But sadly, my experience of churches has been that it's often easier for us to come along on a Sunday, have a lovely chit-chat, talk about the weather, how our week has been briefly, and just keep it on the surface, when sadly there's things going on underneath that we aren't always willing to share. We actually try and steer away from them at times, and we miss out on that spiritual support, that encouragement, that accountability that we're really longing for and honestly need to help us stay on the straight path. And so the next thing that I want to do now is going to take some courage, and there's no pressure if you don't want to do this, but I encourage you to take a step and be able to receive that support is with what you've written down on your piece of paper, where you feel like you're not trusting God. Just turn to the person next to you, or in front of you, behind you, wherever someone, the closest person might be, and just tell them or show them where what you wrote down and what you're not trusting God with. If you want to do that now, and I encourage you, because we want to be able to support one another to overcome our fears. Because remember, when we acknowledge our fears, we are removing those roadblocks for the power of God to come in and help us work through and overcome them. And if you've done that, you've now opened the door to help him empower us to overcome our fears. And in order for us to do that, we're going to look at two practical ways that he helps us do that. And the first one, if we've just written something down on our piece of paper, is that we acknowledge our fear and we choose to trust God anyway. So we've just acknowledged our fears if you showed your neighbour next to you. But the question is, we've done it here, but how often do we tend to do it with God? I think at times we often think that God already knows everything that's going on, so why should we even bother telling him these things anyway? Or maybe we're just denying these things because we're so fearful of them that we don't bring them to God either. And it comes back to, if we want support here in our church, we have to be authentic with one another. And just the same, if we want support from God, we need to have that authentic relationship with him. Not only should we have it with our fellow believers, we should have it with God. And that means that we need to be willing to tell God our fears, to come before him, to show him that when we're afraid, when we're nervous, when we have a heavy heart and are worried about things in our life. But we also need to choose to continue to trust him anyway. And we see King David struggled with this situation as well, just before he was anointed the king of Israel. And the process wasn't as smooth as David probably would have liked. At the time, Prophet Samuel was the one who was going to anoint King David of Israel, who had been chosen by God to lead his people. Yet, if you know the story at all, there was an issue. The issue was that there was already a king, and King Saul was already on the throne. And you could imagine a king in place had just heard that there was another king being anointed. And so he was filled with jealousy and sought to kill David. So David, as you can imagine, fearing for his life, spent several years fleeing and wondering, what if? What if Saul and his army found me? What if they managed to catch me? What would happen? Yet over time, we see through David's running away from Saul, something actually changed. And we see this in Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4a. David wrote these words. He said, "When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. I praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid?" If you need a verse to help you overcome or deal with your fears, I encourage you, this is a great verse to memorize. When David was living in fear for his life, he knew the only thing that could get him through was to trust God. To trust God's anointing on him to be king of Israel. So when you're face to face with your fear, remember these verses. Just like David did. Yet David didn't just stop here at "why should I be afraid?" He finishes off verse 4 by saying, "What can mere mortals do to me?" Now for us in our circumstances that might not be so important, but in David's situation where he had an army of mere mortals chasing after him that could do excruciating things to him, he still was able to trust God. And the reason he was able to trust God and make such almost full of himself statement here was because when he was writing these words, he wasn't considering the things on this earth. You see, he knew what he'd been called to do. He knew that he'd been anointed by God, and he trusted God that that would happen no matter what. And if something did happen to him, he knows that his life in eternity was already taken care of. And the same thing applies to us today. Here on earth, the things that happen to us, the things that we often become fearful of, are only temporary things when we compare them with our citizenship in heaven, because what we will receive up there will last for eternity. And so when we put God on the throne of our lives, his will shall be done. That doesn't mean that we won't have what-ifs. It doesn't mean that we won't face fears or doubts and troubles in our life. But we don't let those things define us. Because as children of God, we know from 2 Timothy 2, that he's given us God's power, spirit and promise and purpose are the things that truly define who we are. But this can only happen when we're willing to acknowledge those fears in our lives, those roadblocks that are stopping us from trusting God. So the second practical way that we can overcome our fear is to seek God until he takes your fears away. And we see, again, we can learn from King David, as this is exactly what he did when he was close to being captured by King Abimelech, who would hand him over to King Saul to be killed. But instead of worrying, he drew close to God. In Psalm 34, verse 4, he wrote these words, I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. God delivered David from all his fears. Imagine what that would feel like. You wake up one morning and you no longer have that feeling of being afraid. No longer worried, because he has delivered you from all your fears. I sought the Lord and he delivered me from all my fears, David wrote. About 3.5 years ago, 6.5 years ago, there was a newly married couple who were fresh out of Bible college. This couple was passionate and eager to get into ministry. They applied for all the available jobs around in their area. They didn't get accepted by any of them. So they widened their search and they kept trying, until they were almost ready to give up, considering, what if God didn't want them to do ministry? What if this wasn't what he called them for? But they came together and they prayed as they chose to send off their last application. If this is your God will, they prayed, we will trust that you will open the doors. And lo and behold, he did for them. Over 2,000 plus kilometres away from their friends and family and everything that was familiar to them. When they arrived in their new location, things didn't really go as planned. The accommodation wasn't as great as they had imagined. The wife struggled with a miscarriage while the husband was getting youth ministry ready for their first year. And there was one night that they'll never forget to this day, that they ended up staying at the senior pastor's house, crying themselves to sleep, questioning, what if they weren't meant to be here? What if they weren't going to be able to have kids? What if ministry wasn't really their calling? But again, they came together and they trusted God and his promises that he had granted them in his life, and prayed to him, and he delivered them from their fears. And now, 6+ years later, if you ask them, was this God's calling on their life? Well, myself and Shamila would be able to tell you that without a doubt, it has been God's calling on our life, because this has been our story. It hasn't been easy. It wasn't easy. It took time for God to remove some of these fears that we had in our life about ministry and family. Yet we continued to trust him through those times. And the author Sarah Young has a great quote that I think really spells out the problem that we face so often with the fears in our life. And it says it actually, and why it also takes so long for God to actually remove them from our lives and our situations. And it's not often his problem, it's ours. And it's because our tendency as humans is to gaze at our problems for prolonged periods of time, yet we only glance at God for help. If we want to overcome the fears through the power of God, we need to get our gaze fixed on Jesus and only glance at our problems and our fears. And only then we will be able to overcome that bondage that they have on us. Because we remember that fear is when we put our faith in the what ifs. And when we do that, it reveals what we value most in our lives. And sometimes those aren't bad things that we value. But it also reveals where we trust God the least. So what are we going to do? First, we need to acknowledge our fears. And then once we've acknowledged our fears, we're going to seek and trust God through them. And then he will deliver us from our fears. The great John Wesley said it this way: whenever I feel fearful emotions overtaking me, I just close my eyes and thank God that he is still on the throne, reigning over everything, and I take comfort in his control over all the affairs of my life. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are in control of all things. And Lord, it's only human for us to fear the things that are happening in our lives, Lord. But you encourage us to draw closer to you through these times. And again, through your word, we see those who fear and take things into their own hands, Lord, evidently end up either mucking up or they end up turning back to you and trusting you with what you have promised us, Lord. And we thank you this morning as we had communion and we can remember the greatest promise of your son's death on the cross to free us from all bondages of sin. And that you would help us, Lord, even in spite of the fears that we might be facing, to just lean to you, trust in you, and keep our gaze fixed on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.